scripture reading to the Gospel of John.
I haven't been here for a while. Like, it has been a long hiatus. I'm glad to get back to it. Love preaching from the Gospels. We're turning to John chapter 4. We're actually picking up the second half of a kind of a single story, the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. So, we're turning to John chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up at verse 27. So this is, Jesus has just been talking with the Samaritan woman. He has just revealed himself to her. I'll come back to that. And then his disciples come back from town. Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And you remember what was reported, that he told her, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I have not one." And he said, "Yeah, that's right. You've had five and the one you're with now is not. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and they were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." I'm going to stop there. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord God Almighty, the Savior of the world, we thank you and we praise you for your great gift of salvation, and that you have opened our hearts to receive it, opened our eyes to see it. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us with your presence this day, that you would dwell with us and within us, that we would hear you speak to us, that our faith would rest upon your word and your spirit. And we pray that we might see your gospel go out with power in the world, that your servants everywhere would speak your truth with courage, with insight, with understanding, with compassion, that your voice might be heard, and everywhere your people might be turned to seek you in the truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that you'll hear me mention the Thursday night meetings often, I do it again. That's okay. One of the things we're trying to do at our Thursday night meetings is, in our studies, is to learn to pay a little more attention to the words of Scripture. The words that we often just read right over and don't even think about. We think it's like just subtext, just something to get something else there. We're trying to notice more, ask more questions, trying to develop a habit of reading more slowly, thinking more carefully about what's being said. Even if our questions don't have answers, that's not always bad. It's good to think about it. Last Thursday we read about Jesus' first miracle, the wedding at Cana, turning all that water into wine. Was that significant that that was his first miracle? Doesn't it seem a bit odd? Is it meaningful that it happened on the third day? What might John mean with that? Found some interesting things to think about. Well, that's just by way of getting to where we are today. What's going on with this Samaritan woman? This didn't just happen. John's not just telling a story as he remembered it, whatever comes to mind. This is the Spirit of God telling John, write this down. I want every generation forever to hear it. It's true that the other Gospels don't even tell about it. But they each have their own focus and purpose. John is led to give great prominence to this meeting very early in his Gospel. The way John organizes his telling of the Gospel. Jesus has just been talking with a Pharisee, Nicodemus, chapter 3, leader of the Jews. And we think, well, of course, yes, leader of the Jews. We want to see the top guys coming to Jesus. Well, that's interesting. Nicodemus, woman of Samaria. That's interesting. But there's more. Were these people of understanding? Nicodemus? The woman? Did they quickly grasp what Jesus was trying to teach them? Suddenly he's talking to this woman of Samaria. But look at the questions he's asking. Look at what he's saying to them. The Pharisee Nicodemus, Jesus is talking to him and he says, can a man be born again? Can a man enter a second time into the womb? The woman says, give me some more of this water so I don't need to come here and draw anymore. They both failed to understand Jesus' words, and they tried to apply his words to earthly things. And here Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he says, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. And his disciples say to each other, hey, somebody bring him some food. And that's when Jesus says to his disciples, lift up your eyes and see. See, the same thing's going on every level. Lift up your eyes and see. Where are your eyes? What do you see? Where are your eyes often when you go for a walk? I'm assuming that most of us will sometimes go for a walk. When I go for a walk, my eyes are on my feet a lot. Or the path right in front of my feet. How I walk. I'm lost in thought. I'm in my own world, so to speak. Not always. God's world is beautiful, and lots of times I'll look up and I'll think, wow. But often, I don't see very far ahead. I'm thinking about what has just happened. I'm thinking about something that is happening. I'm wondering how we're going to do this or that. Even if it is about the church, as it is sometimes, I'm not seeing very far ahead. I'm not seeing the plan and purpose of God very clearly. I walk by my neighbor's house.
couple of doors down. And I've never seen them. Have they never been outside? I've been here a year and a half. Have they never been outside? That's a question without understanding. I'm looking at my feet in more ways than one. I'm not seeing what I should be seeing. What were the disciples seeing? It had been a long, hot, dusty day. They just got back from town with a little food. Jesus is talking to a woman of Samaria. That had to be worse than taking little children on his lap. Have some food. Where were their eyes? That's our tech. That's our theme. Lift up your eyes and see. And I want to look at his saying, the fields are white for harvest. And I want to look at the Samaritan woman with you. The fields are white for harvest. Have you ever noticed how often Jesus blesses people with earthly blessings, but he wants them and he wants us to lift up our eyes and see more? The Bible says, even the rain that comes down or the drought that destroys, either one is intended to cause us to lift up our eyes and see God, the giver of all good things, including discipline. He uses earthly need or experience to teach spiritual truth. Think of marriage and family this way. He created both marriage and family to reveal himself and our relationship to him to us. He wants us to learn from marriage and family something about our relationship to him. Always something from what we know and experience to what is really between us and him. Lift up your eyes. Have you ever noticed how often we don't get it and how little we see? Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. Oh, we can have a Bible study and just look at the power and wonder and compassion and love. But do you know that he intends us to recognize from that miracle that only he can open our eyes to know him? He has to change our hearts or we will not see him. He healed the people of their diseases. Again, what incredible compassion. But he wants us to see that only he can take away our sin, which is our great disease. Only his blood can cleanse us. Lift up your eyes. He fed the multitudes. He wants us to recognize that he is the bread of life. If we do not feed on him, we will die. He raised the dead. He wants us to see that he will raise all his children in the great resurrection. Lift up your eyes. Now here we have a story from John of the time when they were traveling from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north. And they had to go through Samaria. While Jews don't like Samaritans, they usually actually went around Samaria just to avoid them. Jesus said, no, we need to go through. Wasn't because they didn't have time. We need to go through. I found it interesting, maybe 2 weeks ago, some of you saw the white-haired gentleman that was visiting Margaret and I that week, and his wife. They were up from Ontario. He's in a Christian Reformed church. Very, very good, very strong Christian Reformed church in Ontario. And he was telling us about a mission that church has been involved in for some time. They go to Hamilton. They go to a street in Hamilton that most people go around. And they've been there for years, and they hold Bible studies there. And he said, when we got part of that and stopped going around, we started joining the Bible studies, and now I actually like to go through there. And when I go through there, I meet lots of friends, and everybody's saying, hey, Thies, how you doing? It's incredible. That's not going through once and thinking you notched your gun and done your duty. that's different. Back to her story. It was hot. It was dusty. They were tired. They stopped by the well of Jacob. The disciples went into town to buy some food. But Jesus was totally wiped out, and he sat down by the well to rest. As I said, we've already looked at his conversation with the woman from Samaria. She had come out to draw water. In the end, he had revealed himself to her, saying, she said, I know that Christ is coming, the Messiah is coming. He said, I will speak to you, I'm he. And here we pick up the story as the disciples come back from town with some food. Now notice what John records for us to think about. At least I think he wants us to think about it. The disciples come back and they are surprised to find him talking to a woman. Well, why the surprise? Well, just because that was really unexpected. They were taught that a rabbi especially, and Jesus was a rabbi to them, a rabbi especially does not talk to a woman in private. Not even his own daughter, for appearances. You know, when you think about that, the focus they made on appearances, you recognize that Pharisees weren't, well, they came by being Pharisees, honestly. Their society pushed it. Okay, but anyway, look. Here he is. He's talking to an unknown woman in private. Nobody else around. A Samaritan woman. Ooh, but what's really going on here? Did you notice? The Gospel of John says that they did not ask, what do you want? Why are you talking with her? Now, one commentator said that they didn't ask Jesus because they were so used to him having a good reason for everything he did, they didn't dare. They didn't want to seem dumb. It's a possibility. But given the story, that when she hears him say, I speak to you, I'm he, she leaves. She walks away. She leaves her water jar. She leaves. And the disciples come to Jesus, and they don't notice anything about that, and they just say, here, eat something. Eat something. I think it is shown that they don't care about her in the least. They were a little concerned that he was talking to a woman, which he probably shouldn't do, but they didn't care about her in the least. Their eyes were still on their feet. The neighbor was right in front of them, but they didn't see her. Now look at Jesus' concern at that point. Oh, great, where'd you get me? Ew, what's that? And no, didn't pay any attention to the food. He said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest. Can't you see what's going on? I have food that you do not know about. Jesus is consumed at that point with opening their eyes. They look at each other. Hey, somebody get him something to eat? Jesus goes on. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And you think about again just what Jesus just said here. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. What is your most important physical need? Your house? Your truck? Your beer? Your clothes? None of these things. We don't notice it because we have so much, but our most important physical need is food. Food and water, always. We'll include water in food. Food and water, always. It's first. Even in the cold north, food is the foundation. We see people surviving on the streets of Grand Prairie in the winter, but not without food. My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish His work. That's the foundation of my life. That's the most important thing to me. That gives me the most satisfaction. I love it. Now, why does Jesus say that? He's saying, my food is to do the will of my Father. Look at me. Aren't I great? No. He is great. He's saying, lift up your eyes. You call me master and teacher. This is what I'm teaching you. You have a saying, yet 4 months and then the harvest. I tell you, lift up your eyes, the fields are white. Do you understand what he's saying at that point? It appears it was planting time. They were sowing. And they had a saying, as they sowed, because you sow in the hope of reaping. You sow with courage because you're going to reap. And they had a saying, when they're sowing, 4 months and we're going to harvest. It gives you strength for your work. Because it seems like, other than the harvest, it seems like, wow, what a dumb thing to do. Walk down the field, sowing stuff that looks dead. 4 months and a harvest. You have a saying. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Look around you. The fields are white with harvest. It's begun. Already the reapers are gaining wages for eternal life. And I don't know, in the sense, it's hard to understand exactly what he's saying with that. Does he mean John the Baptist is one of those reapers gaining wages of eternal life? Maybe. Is he using what they call a historical future, showing it's going to happen soon? It's a technique they use. They put something that's happening in the near future in the past because it's a way of showing that it's as good as happening. Maybe that's what's going on. It's hard to say. But the sowing has been going on from the beginning, and especially powerfully from the time of Abraham, and especially again from the time of Moses. Others have done the hard work. Others have shed their blood getting the seed in the ground, but the reaping has started. And we'll rejoice together. He's saying to his disciples, lift up your eyes. Did you even see that woman from Samaria? Or did you just see someone that I shouldn't be talking to? Now, what stopped them from seeing her? I suppose that's easy enough. She wasn't a Jew first. She was a Samaritan. She was a woman. Well, that's not very challenging to us. We don't make that, hopefully, that distinction between men and women. We recognize it as sin if we do. And we make a distinction, but not that kind. And we want to see the gospel go to all nations. So that's not so challenging to us, what was stopping the disciples. So why then not my neighbor? Why not also the gay lobbyists? This is going to be a tough one. But we're talking about our attitude to others in the day of salvation. Are your eyes lifted up? Do you see fields white for harvest? Even concerning those who are trying to destroy the foundations of a good society. What do you see? Enemies? Or fields white for harvest? Jesus said, love your enemies. That means do good to those who harm you. We're to be praying for their salvation. Not just their salvation, but their conversion to Christ, and in Him their salvation. Why wouldn't I? I don't know God. I don't know Jesus because of anything in me. I know Jesus only because He took hold of me and revealed Himself to me. So why would I think,
kill him?
If we meet them, what do we say? How do we speak? With the right attitude, what can happen? I read the story of the book of little book of Rosaria Butterfield, and I hope many of you have read it, and if you haven't, I think you should. It's called Secret Thoughts of a Most Unlikely Convert. I'm not going to go into it, but it's amazing. It's amazing, that conversion. Most Christians would have been down her throat. But the ones whom the Lord had her bump into walked her into the kingdom. And you know, it's going to be even tougher when it comes to my neighbor. Because he or she, I do have to meet. It's not if I meet them. I need to meet them. Whether it's the one two doors down or the one I meet at work, I have to lift up my eyes. I have to see the fields, white for harvest. And maybe for a while I have to overlook the F-bombs that are falling all around me. Or at least not let them make that person one I hate. We might even have to have a weekly night at home where we invite lots of people and maybe the Lord brings a few to talk with us, that we can introduce them to Jesus. We can study the Bible together. Something anybody can lead. Anybody. Again, that's one of the things we're trying to do on Thursdays. Trying to show there are ways to do this that anybody can organize it and do it. I remember an old guy in the church I grew up in. He worked at General Motors all his life. He led a Bible study at General Motors almost as many years. When he started, he didn't know the Bible that well. When he finished, he did. I want you to hold me accountable that I try hard to start one of these on my block this fall. And I want you to be praying and lifting up your eyes. If there's anyone here who feels led to say, I'd like to do it, I don't really know how to start, or how do I go about this, talk to me, talk to us, we'll help. You'll be blessed. It'll be the most satisfying thing you ever did. I want to look at the Samaritan woman. It's for encouragement. What more do we need than this Samaritan woman? And not just the Samaritan woman, but the Spirit of God through her. The Spirit of God that we all have. She starts into that field. She's cutting it down, binding it up. Her muscles are growing. Standing the sheaves together. Well, maybe that's too far. Let's go back. Look at her. She came out to the well specifically to draw water, and you don't do that before you need it. She leaves her water jar right there on the ground. No concern it's going to get stolen. She goes back to her village where she is not of good reputation. And she does not put on airs. There's no pretense in her, hey, I found the Messiah. You got to come. I could hear them saying, yeah, I'll bet you did.
She simply says, come, see somebody who told me everything I ever did. Come, see someone who knows what a sinner I am. And he still talked to me. And he didn't even look down on me. Talk to me like I was a someone. He's a Jew. Could this be the Christ? And she must have told them more about her conversation because many believed that Jesus was the Christ because of what she said. And they started to come out in great numbers to meet Jesus. But notice, that's all that we're trying to do. I will sometimes think that I need to convince someone that Jesus is the Christ. I'll try to compare the Bible to the Quran. And they're so different. It's amazing. You've got to do this, but wrong starting point. Or I'll compare the Word of God to atheism or agnosticism. Wrong starting point. I need to find a way to say, come, see the one who loves me in spite of my sin. The Lord may give me much more to say, but the bottom line is come, see. Children, your parents are trying to teach you the Word of God. They're trying to teach you its power. They're trying to teach you its beauty. They're trying to teach you its truth. What they have seen for themselves, they're trying to teach it to you. But you need to come and see. You need to come to Him always and see for yourself. The Samaritans came to Jesus and begged Him to stay with them. And He did for a couple of days. And then their response is precious. It says, many more believed, and they all said to the woman, now we no longer believe because of what you said. We've heard for ourselves, and we believe that this is indeed the Savior of the world. They came and they heard Jesus speak. And it's fascinating that Paul says something very similar in Romans 10. He says, how are they going to believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how are they going to believe Him unless someone preaches? And so we are called to speak the word of truth, to tell people, come and see, to tell them the gospel. We've got to be coming and hearing the voice of Jesus. And you've got to be praying and asking God to reveal Himself to you, and you will hear Him. Paul says, He, Jesus Himself, speaks to you. And that doesn't mean that everything every preacher says is the gospel truth. It's not like the Bible being read. It means Jesus is speaking to us, grounding our faith so it's not based on anybody else, but we've heard Him. One of the things I often pray about in terms of my own children is that their faith will not rest on what I have said in the sense of resting on me, but that it will rest on their having met Jesus and their hearing Him in all of this. Jesus Himself speaks through us. We need to hear Him. God gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. Let's understand that. Spiritually understood. The fields around us are all the people around us. And don't think evil of them if they are evil. They are the fields that need to be harvested. And they're not green like the wheat around us at this time of year. They're white, ready. God can change hearts. Any. And it's not our doing to create faith.
just to say, come, see the one who told me everything I ever did. Amen.